Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we tell some Mike August stories. I've come up with a cure for his shifting and a shafting. Also, $31 billion California's given away to people who don't need it. And we'll do some news.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HDS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like a bottle of Promescent Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first three glorious years of the Ace Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Balt Bryan on sound effects, and a live Q&A courtesy of Stereo. And now, with the lifting of the region's stay-at-home orders, his anger index has gone from purple to red. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to make it. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing with a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball Brian.
All men are beautiful.
So true. Imagine how hard a great-looking male model would be laughed out of the room if he tried to float that fucking cloud of bullshit that women do all the time.
Square jaw, cleft chin.
I've been thinking about this, and I'm so glad you did that, Brian. I have a thought about why that happens. Because nobody, and I probably, especially women, nobody wants to see a bitchy, beautiful woman. So she has to say all women are beautiful and oh, who me? Because nobody resents somebody like a gorgeous woman who knows it and who doesn't apologize for it.
It does feel like the recent history of celebrity has reveled in taking down, you know, the beautiful woman who,
sure.
who you know, acted like the bitch or the diva, you know what I mean?
But if a guy was like, oh yeah, I'm the sexiest man, we'll, you know, line up ladies, we'd go, oh, what a charmer. But if a woman did that, she'd be destroyed.
But the line would still be as long.
For the, yeah, the
her.
Dudes would be in it.
Dissuade us.
Yeah, because we can do an extra bit of tuning out with the hotties. You guys don't realize we will ratchet that up. Yeah, well, now thinking about, I like to kind of see where we're at as a nation. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but if you think about it, I always look at the commercials, and I always tell you guys that, you know, when I was growing up, if there was a vehicle that was supposed to go off-road, they always talked about twin I-beam suspension and galvanized steel and the most payload and the greatest, the best powertrain warranty. And now it's the Subaru's made with love, and it's a lot of puppies in love. So, but speaking about being beautiful, there used to be a commercial, and I can't remember if it was for Pantene or it was probably for a shampoo where the chick would go, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Because I'm beautiful. So could you imagine?
Wasn't that someone famous?
Maybe.
Kelly LeBrock or something?
Yeah. It may have been someone who was famous before they were famous for whatever they're famous for. But either way, Madison Avenue thought it'd be a good idea, Pantene, to advertise in their national campaign a super hot chick telling you not to hate them because they were beautiful.
Yep.
That's a bygone era.
That's exactly right. And I think it was Kelly LeBrock.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
It stuck in my mind for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Max Apat has found the commercial from the 80s, the Pantene commercial. Pantene. This is the greatest hoax ever portrayed on American women, which is we will take exactly the same ingredients as Suave or any other shampoo that's $9 cheaper a bottle, mm-hmm. but we'll put a little essence in it. We'll
yes.
get a little smell.
And
the thing about the smell for the shampoo, like, let's face it. Any shampoo or dishwashing detergent or the shit used to clean your van on the soapy sponge mitten, it would all get your hair clean.
Right.
But when you're engulfed in that smell with the steam, the hot shower coming down and doing
hair and
yes, and of course the women are like, no, this is much better. It's much better because you're engulfed in its essence.
It's essence.
You're in a steam bath.
Right.
But Adam, you know how you've talked about you've never went to an Applebee's? Wasn't it Applebee's? Or no, Outback.
Outback.
Because it used to be too tall in order, and now you're like, that's low end.
Right.
Pantene. Like, really, this kind of grocery store shampoo, that's me. It was too expensive. Couldn't ask mom for it. We had to stick with the green Suave because it was $1. And now I would never use this shit.
Remember when all the, the horse shampoo came out?
Yes, mane and tail.
Mane and tail. That was hot for 10 minutes. How does that stuff work? Shit you use to clean a horse.
If it's good enough for your beast of burden.
Yes, I know. And then why not expand it? This is the brush they use on horses.
This is the crop.
Yeah. This is the crop they use on a horse. Yeah. Like,
did it have
else?
Anything to do with, now, I don't think they're related as a product, but I'm saying, remember how Utterbalm, like Bag Balm was a thing? Like, mm-hmm. This is the stuff, this is the antiseptic stuff they use on, you know, cow udders. And so maybe there's a whole like, fucking barnyard animal trend.
Well,
I was in Kansas. What's your excuse?
Every 11-year-old girl loves horses.
Yes.
So I think at some point somebody went, this could have gone on the horse you never got. You know, I mean, you always wanted this horse.
Wow.
Now you be the
That's
horse,
the internal
bitch.
Brief right there,
That's
Adam.
Right. That's right. Women love horses.
You're good.
I was thinking, we have the commercial. Well, we'll play the commercial. Why not?
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. My hair used to be a joke. Dry, split ends. Then I discovered Pantene. Pantene has this pro-vitamin formula that actually strengthens your hair from inside. It's incredible. Even with everything I put my hair through, it looks so healthy, strong, shiny. Listen, it won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
Pantene, serious care for beautiful hair.
You'll see.
She looks like a hot Pomeranian.
Yes, yes.
With that hairstyle.
Yeah, I do love when women talk about what they ask of their hair. Mm. Blow drying. I drive a convertible on occasion. I went outside without one of those smart bonnets
that tape my hair, the
babushka. The babushka over my head. I ask a lot of my hair.
Yeah,
I think you women probably ask a lot of your hair, and we ask a lot of our deodorant, but no one really is asking that much.
That's right.
You know, I would now the chick on the trapeze who's spinning around and the guy's holding her by her hair or something like that. That's a woman who asks a lot from her hair.
Right. It's a matter of life and death.
Yeah. I don't think being on the set of Weird Science is asking a lot of your hair.
Well, wasn't she with Seagal?
Seagal, they have a kid together. I was going to say, Gina, I had a thought just now for the first time in my life. What's Kelly LeBrock up to? And according to Wikipedia, she lives on a ranch in the San Ynez Valley. That's very nice.
Ooh.
And according to the picture, circa 2014, that's an attractive older woman right there. She has aged well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to put her off on, you know, my scale of when I could bang somebody who was hot when I was 19. She's been bumped back a little because she's been keeping after herself. Sad, mm-hmm. but I guess that's a decision.
That's the way it has to be.
It's her choice. I can't make it for her. I was thinking of Bald Brian this morning because I had to get up. This is not the part I was thinking about you for, I had to get up at about 6:15 and I had to come into the studio and do like a Fox Business or MSNBC. Really? Business or some hit, whatever.
Right.
So I got up early, and rules are rules. I had to get in the swimming pool while it was dark outside before I got dressed and came over here. And
it is freezing, for our standards.
It's freezing, but it's that same theory, which is cutting your finger off in a bandsaw or kicking the metal bed frame when you're barefoot and it's cold in the room. It's just pain. So it gets to one point, and that's about it. So I was philosophical about it. I got in the pool. It was dark. It was freezing. But got out. I was awake. Started driving in, and I had the news radio on, and they were talking about this story of the California unemployment, the EDD, being bilked out of...
Oh, no.
Being...
No, yep. They didn't put gate on there, did they?
$31 billion. I mean, maybe I'm old, but billion, I don't remember billion being tossed around like it is now, you know.
Casually.
This is just California. I mean, if you would have heard that nationwide the unemployment with the COVID checks or whatever was bilked out of $31 billion, that's astonishing. This is just California.
Right.
$31 billion they got duped out of.
And a lot of them in prison.
Yeah, and in other countries as well.
Oh, good.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Not just out of California, out of North America.
And I'll tell you when the thoughts turn to Brian, but Dawson has the article.
California's 2020 unemployment fraud claims may top $31 billion. California state officials have said that at least $11.4 billion in unemployment benefits have been mistakenly paid out to fraudulent cases since March 2020, with some estimates ranging as high as $31 billion. Roughly 10% of all unemployment claims paid out in California during the coronavirus pandemic, which forced statewide shutdowns and unemployment increases, have involved fraud.
Isn't California where Silicon Valley is? Like, don't we have computers and whatnot?
Yes. Encryption.
The best ones in the world.
Yeah.
$31 billion. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Dawson.
An additional 17% of the total unemployment claims are under investigation, reported the LA Times. There is no sugarcoating the reality, California Labor and Workforce Development Agency Secretary Julie Hsu said during a Monday press conference. Quote, California has not had sufficient security measures in place to prevent this level of fraud, and criminals took advantage of the situation.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. It's always funny when the people that are responsible for the problem explain to you how bad the problem is because they didn't see the problem coming down the road. Right. Yeah, is there any more, Dawson? Sorry.
California has paid $114 billion in 19 million unemployment claims since the onslaught of the pandemic. It should be no surprise that the EDD was overwhelmed, just like the rest of the nation's unemployment agencies, Sue said.
As millions try to spread it out to Texas and Florida.
As millions of Californians applied for help, international and national criminal rings were at work behind the scenes, working relentlessly to steal unemployment benefits using sophisticated methods of identity theft. All they did was fill out a paper.
Shit from prison.
All they did was fill out a paper and mail it in. That's not very sophisticated.
No. I like that they have to be sort of Dr. X and his international all-star team of diabolical geniuses from cell block C, still working to get his high school diploma. That guy?
A lot of Now You See Me 3.
Yeah.
Shockingly, she in part blamed the Trump administration for not assisting states with pandemic relief services.
So they could steal more?
I mean, they're incompetent, right? It was weird because, like, do you want help from the feds or don't you want help from the feds? California is weird because if the feds offer something, they go, we don't want your help. But then when they fuck up, they go, where the fuck were you? $31 billion. Well, you know what we could have got for $31 billion? We could have got another 11 foot of train track from Modesto.
Chowchilla.
Exploratory.
Yes.
We would have explored possibly.
So I was thinking about Brian as I was driving in. I was thinking about that $31 billion, and I was picturing him cutting his $13,000 check to the IRS.
You gotta make that up, man.
And if it, as if that wasn't bad enough, as that thought was going through my head, as I was smiling to myself while I was driving in, picturing Brian write the $13,000 check and the $31 billion squandered, at that very moment, it started raining. It started raining, and I was, you know, turned the windshield wipers on, and then I looked to my right.
Those are
Brian's tears. I looked to the right, and I saw the sprinklers fire up on the side of the freeway.
Of course.
And I thought,
of course,
that's where that $13,000 is going. Could we, you know, you know, but you think about it, it's funny. It's $31 billion, and it's $13,000. You know, it's got the same two numbers involved, but you just think about how hard that money is to come by for you and what a sacrifice it is and what a sort of something, you know, the 13 could have gone to the college fund or could have gone to your next two vacations, or maybe you were thinking about converting the garage into a studio or something. Like, what that 13 means to you and what the $31 billion means to them. You know what I mean? And how is that system ever really going to work? You know what I mean? If they're going to go, hey, Brian and other people of California, we need you to step it up. We need you to start paying your fair share. Come on now. We got bills here.
They're drenched in water from the freeway, the freeway sprinklers.
Yeah, we've got to start trying to right that ship. It is bound to happen. It can go no other way. But we can't just keep asking for more money from the people that live in a state and then squandering it in insane ways. Again,
Gina, let me say real quick, only because it's Adam's point. It's funny you mentioned that, Adam. Like, it's completely psychological, but that money was important to us. Again, psychologically, we'll be fine ultimately. It sucks and it hurts, but it got us. This year, we made a goal and we got it of getting over a certain number, a big number for us in our savings, like our liquid in the bank savings. And we got over that number and we were happy. We, you know, toasted a glass of wine to it, and then, but it was, you know, felt really great. And this knocks us back to before that. It just hurts psychologically. It's like, oh, we were so good about saving this year and now it's all gone.
That's funny, because when I decided that it was time to pay off the University of Kansas in a big old way, I got above my number in the savings account. I said, see, if you could do it once, you could do it again. And I wrote a multi-thousand-dollar check. And so far, I'm still climbing that mountain. But I just needed to take a snapshot of it, say, you did it once, you could do it again. And I think I wrote a check for, not to be a one-upper, but I think it was $35,000 or
$38,000. Holy moly.
Yeah. I just never wanted to see it again.
I think I also inadvertently came up with a way to prevent Mike August from shifting automatic automobiles when we rent them on the road. You know, his super annoying constant.
No, you're solving the world's problems.
Shifting, his constant grabbing of the automatic stick shift and going from high to low to first to third, like just super annoyingly shifting all the time. John, why does he do this? Number one, why? And then number two, can't figure out if it's more annoying to drive with him when he does that or to eat with him when he pre-cuts everything on his plate, including spaghetti, you know, gets the knife and fork and starts feverishly cutting everything up.
That offends me.
That offends me too.
He's got a steak sitting there bleeding out.
Right, just cuts the shit out of everything. But I think I've found a solution to this problem that plagues America. I realize Mike August is not a coffee drinker. He does not drink coffee. And that right hand, in my world, is occupied with a mug or a travel mug or a Starbucks thing. That right hand, if you're driving to the airport at 5:30 in the morning, you've got that Starbucks in that right hand. That's where the hand. You got the left hand on the wheel, and you got that thing. You got it on the right hand.
Busying itself.
We have to get him on to coffee. Mm-hmm. If we could get him on to coffee, he'd have the right hand occupied and would have a hellish time shifting the car that never needs to be shifted because it's an automatic.
Can you imagine an alert, Mike August? Like, I mean, with it and like on top.
Caffeinated.
Paying attention.
Have you ever seen Mike, Chris, you ever seen Mike Alex drink coffee or yawn?
I've never, no, neither one. You're totally right.
But I think if we could start, I don't know how we should do it. Like maybe, you know, when we have to meet in the lobby at 6 a.m. and return the car at the airport and make the flight at 8:15 and all that rigmarole.
Yeah.
And it, there's that thing where it's like you found out in the lobby, the hotel has a Starbucks and you go get me and you a coffee.
Yeah.
Now, don't get Mike a coffee. Get him like a hot cocoa with like a marshmallow floating on top of it.
He would like that, actually.
Or some sort of smoothie type frappa something, you know, some sort of orange flavored something, something.
Yeah, if there's a Smoothie King in the lobby, it would be a different story.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a Smoothie King in the lobby, although it's, what was it, $5 Fridays is his big deal?
He drove over a divider to get to a Smoothie King.
He bases a lot of the live gigs and clubs we play based on proximities of Smoothie Kings. He's online. He won't say it, but he's trying to figure out if Zanies has a Smoothie King. With, I think he has an app within 9 miles of the,
all right,
of the
Adam,
club.
We got an offer from the Ha Ha Hole. There's a Robux nearby. I don't know. A Robex or whatever Robex, it's called. I don't know about this.
So if you would then grab him some sort of zesty, frappuccino-y, fruity, smoothie-esque thing from the Starbucks in the lobby, then we just hand it to him on the way to the airport, and there's no way he could ignore that thing all the way to the airport. He'd have to hit off that thing, but he couldn't drive. He couldn't do all his shifting and his shafting his right hand occupied.
That's the solution. That's
the coffee starter drink is, you know, the ice blended or the frappuccino or the whatever.
With that the dome top. Yeah. This is his Bob Dole pen. You just need that hand busy.
Yes, we need the hand occupied. That's right. And then we don't even really need to even graduate to coffee. We can just keep with the frappa smoothie over there from Starbucks, and that would stop us from shifting and shafting. Because the problem now is I am trying to drink a coffee in the passenger seat. He just dropped it into second at 80 miles an hour, and the fucking coffee's flying onto the dashboard. Chris's head is snapping around back there.
God forbid to go take a sip, and he shifts.
Yes.
Gina knows she threw up when August was driving.
I did.
Oh, yeah. Was that?
I did. That was Napa.
We were
leaving Napa and going to like Sacramento or something. And it was so windy. It was beautiful, but it was so windy. I grabbed Brian. And do you remember that? I was just clawing at your arm. That's, and I was like, I'm going to throw up. And I'm not going to say who, but there were a couple people behind me that were also asking me to say something. So, you know, because if the girl says it, I guess it's not as bad. But we did pull over, and I did throw up because of the way August was driving. And we've gotten pulled over when August was driving.
I spilled my beer on you because of August.
That's right. Oh, my God. Was that the same? It went like a wall of water into me.
Lots of beer.
Take my shirt off and get a merch shirt and change into it while I was still sitting in that seat.
I mean, apple juice. I spilled my apple juice on you.
Whatever it was. It was all over my back and my hair and everything because August stopped short.
Mike is aggressive, and it's probably only me with my race car training that can tolerate it sufficiently, because I don't have any problem with him driving like an insane person.
Well, I think you helped by saying the one thing that nobody else would say when I was getting really sick. You're like, August, stop driving like an asshole.
Yeah, you told him to calm down.
Well, again, maybe the greatest Mike. Top 10 Mike story ever is when we were in, I don't know where the fuck we were in, but he was driving like a maniac again on the freeways, but not to get anywhere. We had plenty of time and whatever. We were going to eat before the show, and that's where he was in the fast lane and he's flipping the high beams at the guy, and the guy wouldn't get out of the way. And then Mike did the go around him and then tuck in tight in front of him and cut him off and then gun it into the distance, and I just kept saying, Mike, slow down. They have cops. There's cops everywhere. What are you doing? You're on the main highway in Nashville or where the fuck we were. And he was driving like an insane person. And but again, the whole plan, the thing that always makes this story very Mike-esque, is not just the driving. It's the comprehension part. We were The show's at 8. The show's at 8. The show's always at 8. It's a theater, one show, show's at 8. And we're going to get into town at 7 so we could eat dinner before the show. And it was like 6:45. And Mike, as he's getting pulled over, and we're lit up and we're being pulled over, and the guy who we cut off in the fast lane is watching this whole thing go down. Just, oh, that's the best day of that guy's life. And as the cop's getting out of the car, I just say to Mike, Mike, you got Adam Carolla in the car? Show's at 7. We're running late. And he just looks at me and he goes, show's at 8.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, but right.
Gina, was
the script.
I know we're eating, Mike, but don't tell the cop we're eating. Tell him we're going to a show. And Mike started arguing. Then the cop said, like, you know why I pulled you over? And Mike's like, I don't know. Why don't you tell me? Like, oh, Mike was a dick to the cop.
So this was a different time than Gina was alluding to when we were in the car, right?
It was Chicago.
I was going to say it was either Royal Oak, Michigan, or Chicago. Oh, maybe Midwest. It was somewhere. Yeah. No, it was Midwest. And I remember that's the only time I ever seen Mike August worried. Like, he was legit worried. He was like talking to himself, like as he was being pulled over, saying like, I was going over 100. That's an instant. Yeah, it's an instant impound of the vehicle. Like, he was legit freaked out.
Did he talk back to the cop?
No. There was a lot of yes, sir, no, sir. The cop like wrote him a ticket for 95. You know what I mean? Like, he could have impounded the vehicle.
He was very persnippity with this cop. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Gene and Bald right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gene Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff based on DMC, Joe Biden, Kamala. Big news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Just because we didn't get to it yesterday, and I've never heard so many free commercials, essentially, for MyPillow before in my life. Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow, has been banned from Twitter as of Monday night. That's according to a Twitter spokesperson. CNN reports that Twitter made its decision based on a new policy it enacted after the Capitol insurrection, where people who repeatedly shared election information can be permanently banned. Bed Bath & Beyond stopped selling MyPillow products after Lindell voiced continued support for Trump in the wake of the January 6th event. Lindell, who's a major Republican donor, called the attack very peaceful and blamed undercover Antifa that dressed as Trump people for the chaos, according to New York Times. And Twitter and Bed Bath & Beyond are having none of it, apparently.
There's a bunch of retail outlets that have canceled him out in terms of his pillow, not just Bed Bath and Beyond.
That's the generic version.
Yeah, they've done it. I know a lot of people applaud this. I am going to slippery slope with this. This gets a little, we're deciding what we like, what we don't like, or what we deem dangerous or irresponsible. And then we start acting in the cancellation process. I don't think it's a move toward the light myself.
Well, it does seem like shifting the responsibility over to somebody else because, you know, when we all vote with our dollars. And if I said, well, I'm not down with that guy's cause, I don't care if his pillow is good or bad, I'm not buying it, then I've just taken on that responsibility. But if I say, and nobody else can buy it, and Bed Bath & Beyond, who do you think you are? Like, I'm perfectly capable of saying I'm not buying it.
Yeah, so, I think that's the world we want to live in. Dawson's shaking his head.
When I heard of this story, it struck me as kind of funny that the MyPillow commercials on Fox probably have higher ratings than regular programming on CNN right now.
Go, Dawson.
It's entirely possible.
Sick burn.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's a Trump supporter. He's a religious guy. He's already was on everyone's kind of shit list. I mean, he was on.
He's a little incendiary.
But he was on the shit list before this. Like, he's deeply religious, and he's a Fox guy, and he's a Trump guy. So he was already kind of dangling there a little bit, and I think this put him over the edge. He was on the radar. I would hear stories about what they wanted to do to that guy or what they wanted to deplatform him before the whole incident. So, you know, look, we cannot deplatform or remove the voice or remove the product of people we disagree with, it will come around and get you. It's like all the people, so many people who were pro get this guy fired or get them canceled or get them deplatformed. Many of them have become fired or deplatformed or whatever themselves. It'll come around to you. It's not a good, it's a little bit of the opposite of what we do here in this country, and a little more like a lot of the countries you don't fucking like.
Here's the real slippery slope. What happens when they try to do this to Adam Carolla?
Oh.
What happens to all of us?
Ooh.
Who will speak for us then?
Yeah. You can get a job at Her Pillow, because there's probably some lesbian couple out of Vermont who's going to fill this void.
Wait a second. I don't know about you schmucks, but I'm going to start my OnlyFans site or whatever it's called My Pillows.
My Pillows.
You guys are SOL. I'm going to be
right.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. My prodigious sack just doesn't have the same ring.
No. Nobody's going to throw money at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The scariest part about this whole thing is there's a lot of people in journalism that are cheering this stuff on. Like, they're floating ideas about Fox shouldn't be allowed to exist, or Fox should be taken off or whatever. And there's a lot of journalists that are like, yeah, that's a good idea. These are journalists. If you're fucking journalist, you should be pro free speech. You shouldn't be championing getting
sure.
people canceled if, in fact, you're a journalist. That's the scary part. The scary part isn't the fact that, you know, of course, people on the right are going to want what they want, and people on the left are going to want what they want. But journalists, who are supposed to be somewhere in the middle, right. should not be cheering on everyone being canceled, and not only cheering it on, suggesting that a lot of these news outlets or people they disagree with, or, you know, Tucker Carlson, he needs to, you know, there should be no Fox News. Really? As a journalist, that's what you think?
Did someone? I've not heard that.
Oh, there's Max Apatica can look it up. There's lots of calls to get rid of. It's been around for a while, but to get rid of Fox News and get rid of journalists. Get rid of Tucker Carlson and guys like that, even by politicians and journalists.
It's
fucking
funny
weird.
You mentioned the people who call for cancel have now become canceled themselves in some cases. It's sort of all in consuming. It's the blurring of the line between journalist and host, journalist and entertainer, journalist and opinion, whatever you want to call it, because of the cable news outlets, you know, Fox et al., CNN, MSNBC. It's all of them who have blurred this line between what is a journalist and what is an opinion host, or what is an entertainer, or whatever you want to call them. And now people are being lumped in, like, oh, journalist is saying this. Like, are they really a journalist, or are they, you know, are they a columnist for some extreme outlet on either side?
And in that point, which I think is totally valid, they need each other. You know, I've been watching a lot of Christopher Nolan, but this is like Batman and the Joker. I mean, they need to exist with each other because they feed off each other. Their ratings feed off each other. They feed off attacking each other. Why would
they show clips from the other news networks all the time? Look where they sat on so-and-so.
Yes. So ease up, everybody, on the deplatform, everyone, for the sake of it. Anyway, but also because you could be next. Max Pat will find one or two of those articles. Maybe even the New York Times, I'm trying to think. Or maybe they're calling for it. They want to get rid of Fox or Tucker or whoever. And listen, everybody, why don't you be secure enough to realize that there are people who have different opinions than you and like to share it with other people that you may not enjoy having lunch with? Is that okay?
Quick question for you while Chris looks that up. I've heard some people who are very, very, very conservative start to ditch Fox News because they think they kind of softened or weakened or were a little too maybe attacky to Trump at the end and are like, fuck them. They're acting like traitors. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, Fox News called Arizona for Biden very early before anyone else called it for Biden, which I think put a bad taste in a lot of their viewers because they're like, come on, we're Trump guys. But also they called it, I think, before CNN or MSNBC. They called it first, and I think that was probably the beginning. But look, There's going to be a version of Joe Biden is not hardcore left enough for AOC.
For most, yeah.
Right. But he is his policies are pretty good and left. He's coming across as a centrist, but he's got pretty aggressive policies, but they're not going to be hardcore enough for the AOCs. Is it AOC or is that the computer?
AOC.
It's not going to be hard enough for the squad, and then they're not going to be Fox News is not going to be hardcore enough for some of the hardcore right.
That's hardcore enough for either side.
That's the way it's going to work. All right.
So Tyler Perry on Thursday, BET has a docu-special starring Tyler Perry to dispel the myths around the COVID vaccine. So he created this program called COVID-19 Vaccine and the Black Community to combat skeptics and conspiracies. He recruited Georgia doctors to help explain how the vaccine provides immunity against the coronavirus. On Monday, he got the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine with the cameras rolling. And
Wait a second.
The second dose.
Yeah, he's morbidly obese.
That's a good question. It was a little tit for tat with the special, maybe.
This falls under the heading for me of systemic racism, white supremacy, killer bees coming in from Texas to California. We talked about this. Like they went 3 months ago. Like, do the African American community trust this? And you know, and what about the Tuskegee experiment from 1931? And blah blah blah. And I said, there's always going to be a group that doesn't want to do it, white, black, right, left, whatever. But we're now in kind of full effect with this vaccine. I mean, nationwide, it's getting out there. We're trying to do 1 million people a day. We're trying to do 100 million people in 100 days and so on and so forth. Have you heard widespread stories about black people saying no, or I'm not going to take the vaccine?
Chris can look this up. I saw a poll or whatever that showed that it was more distrust in the black community. I don't know. I remember being more than other communities, and considering the talking points are that the black community is more hard hit than a lot of other or minority communities. You can see that being a deadly recipe.
But more distrust than the Asian community or whatever.
But are we
hearing stories about large swaths of black folk who are refusing to take the vaccine? I don't think so.
I have not heard that, no.
No, the only thing, you know, what you said about Tuskegee or Henrietta Lacks or whatever, if you're an elderly person, you get it before most of us. So say you're 75 or say you're 80. So say you're a black 80-year-old man. There might be something, you know, left over where you're like, no, I've seen this story before. But anyone under that age, it's not really a part of your memory. You know what I mean? Like my ex-boyfriend from a million years ago, his father never went to the hospital, who was black, because he said, I've seen what happens to, you know, black men in hospitals. They go in, they don't come out.
Wait a minute.
That was his philosophy.
What?
How's a white kid have a black dad?
Well, he was half. His dad was black.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
No.
Problematic.
It's good.
What?
It's good.
No. You can't do that. You can't commingle with the races. Before you know, we'll all just be one shade of gray.
Sometimes.
Well, that's where we're heading. Have you ever seen those magazine covers, what the average American is going to look like in 2075?
No.
Listen, Isaac, you of all people, with the bald head and the chains hanging around you, you want a whole bunch of beige people in your Love Unlimited orchestra? Or is that Barry White? God damn it. All right. Well, let's just
thinking about it.
Listen, Isaac, you like Gina Grad?
What?
I am asking you. Well, look, I don't want to put you on the spot, but she's an attractive woman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you like
not resounding.
You like the white ladies?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, Gina's not uptight. I mean, she doesn't mind dating a black man.
Don't mind.
That's good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't mind. May prefer it.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
I agree. All right, Max Feather. Have you Googled me right yet? Or
yeah, I mean, there's on CNN, Oliver Darcy is like with CNN Business did write an op-ed where he says it's time TV carriers face questions for lending their platforms to dishonest companies that profit off disinformation and conspiracy theories.
Well, there's a few out there, but anyway, not a road we should be going down, people. Everyone's going to have to just do a better job of vetting information versus canceling information pre-vetting process.
Yeah, and then Tucker did a piece where he said CNN staffers have already contacted the six major cable carriers in this country that carry the Fox signal into their homes and pressure them to drop Fox News.
It's also a little weird when you're the competition. It's a weird conceit. Like,
yeah,
you should be trying to figure out a way to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, not demand that he be benched because he's a racist.
Not go full Nancy Kerrigan.
Right.
You want him to beat.
All right. What else we got, Gina Graham?
Well, remember for a while there was kind of a bunch of stuff in the zeitgeist about Pamela Anderson and Julian Assange?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that was like what we were kind of confused about it then. We tried, you know, it didn't really seem to go anywhere. Well, whatever it is, it must be over now because Pamela Anderson has married her bodyguard, Dan Hayhurst, according to People.com. The Baywatch actress tied the knot on Christmas Eve in a little ceremony in her home in Canada. On Tuesday, Anderson shared what she said would be her final social media post on Instagram. I have that for you here. It seems like Julian's influence may still be there somewhere, but she says, "This will be my last post on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. I've never been interested in social media, and now that I'm settled into my life, I'm genuinely inspired by reading and being in nature. I am free. Thanks for the blessings to all of you. Let's hope you find the strength and inspiration to follow your purpose and try not to be seduced by wasted time. That's what they want and can use to make money and control your brain."
Yeah. Says the woman who spends 3 hours on makeup and hair every morning. Don't waste time. The likelihood that you're going to marry your bodyguard after the age of 40 goes up significantly,
exponentially, right? Yeah.
Because you are kind of on the other side of the hill. Hollywood's not calling. All the hot rock star drummers aren't calling anymore. You're now with the 27-year-old dude who's constantly working out, and he's got to be in your proximity all the time.
And he's hired to protect you.
That's right.
And I imagine if you think about women will always start gabbing to their hairdresser, right?
Sure.
And it's not that hairdressers know anything. They probably know less than most human beings. I would argue that per capita, they're some of the least informed human beings on the planet, the hairdresser. So why all the gabbing? You know, why are you bearing your soul to the hairdresser? Right. It's all proximity. You're in the seat for an hour and a half. They got the foil tidbits on your hair. They're putting the highlights in. You're there for 2 hours. You got to talk to somebody. How about the dumb person that's punch drunk on Aquanet who's standing behind you? That's it. So you got to figure she's got to be sharing everything in her world. There's no way. You know, there's no way she could go out on a bad date. The guy could be a prick and a douchebag. And then she could come home later that night or the next morning and not have that guy standing outside while she's pouring herself coffee in her bathrobe explaining to him, here's what happened, right?
Yep.
Right.
Who's she coming home to?
That's right. So that's a good gig. That's a good gig.
I'm trying to look up how old he is. It's very hard to tell by the picture, but I thought it said here. I can't. Her kids are 23 and 22. Where's this dude?
I would like to start a personal security bodyguard company. And I would just call it Fat Guy with a Gun. Look, this guy's not into Taekwondo. This guy, he's not spending all his money at the gym. He ain't into, you know, probiotics. He's just a fat guy with a gun. But we pass the savings along. You know what I mean? You want some ex-NFL linebacker, that guy's going to cost you. You know what I mean?
Merriman's going to cost you.
That guy ain't cheap. This is Fat Guy with a Gun. He's living in his mom's house. He's watching a lot of Fox. He is a fat guy with a gun. And by the way, who do you think's going to win in a fight? Fat guy with a gun or Dolph Lundgren over here?
He was an offensive lineman at Sacramento State. I mean, he played Division II ball right. for a couple of years.
Yeah, he was a run stopper. Now he stops bad guys with his gun. He doesn't even have to get off the sofa. He's got a gun.
He prefers not to.
He would prefer not to.
Yes, that's right. Fat guy with a gun, personal protection services. All right. Sorry.
I guess this guy's in his 40s. I just wanted to know if he was like, you know, a young piece of arm candy. But many wishes to the happy couple.
Yes.
But not always does it end in a fairy tale marriage. Elliot Page and Emma Portner have split after 3 years of marriage. The Umbrella Academy star, formerly known as Ellen Page, filed for divorce in a Manhattan court. According to TMZ, they split over the split comes over 3 years after the two announced their surprise marriage. That was in 2018. Page first began hinting at this relationship with Portner, who's 26, by posting pictures of her on social media during 2017. She's a teacher at the Broadway Dance Center, and they are officially calling it quits.
Well, I think when your partner switches genders midstream, or I don't know what she, I feel like that's going to put a strain on the marriage.
Well, yeah, if you're a lesbian, doesn't that redefine who you are and who you're with? If your partner becomes a man?
Yeah, you're relabeling yourself, sure.
It can't be good.
I think so.
Like, if I'll bet you 86% of relationships fail 9 months after one partner announces they're going full vegan. Right?
No.
Like, it's just lifestyle. A strain.
Yeah.
It's just a strain.
A dramatic lifestyle change.
Right. So you kind of swapping genders, that's got to put a pretty good strain on the relationship, right?
I'm not eating meat, and...
Right.
They say that they remain really good friends, and I will tell you that having a bevy of lesbian friends, I have never seen anything like it in my life. They have, you know, really, you know, whatever, passionate and you know, committed relationships. And then what happens when a cisgendered straight couple breaks up? Are we best friends? Fuck no.
Fuck no.
These women stay very, very close friends. And it is something I cannot relate to. And Elliot Page said of her now former spouse that we're still best friends. And I've never seen it in another community.
Hmm.
I don't know how that works.
So, Alan Page?
Elliot.
She should have gone with Alan Page. He was a great defensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings all those years. Oh, yeah. He's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. First ballot. So she should have gone with Alan. Okay, number one. Number two, I feel like everybody, I was listening to Miley Cyrus sort of explaining that she was lesbian, but maybe not lesbian, but just sort of into whatever. It basically, it's kind of interesting as the diet has shrunk, you know, as we've gone vegan or vegetarian or raw foods, the sexual partner potential, that's turned into a fucking golden corral. It's all on the table. I mean, imagine
the buffet is shrunk, and yet the palate of sexual partners is...
Well, when you announce you're bisexual, you don't just add 10% of the populace onto your potential sexual partner list. Doubled it immediately.
Yeah, that's pretty much everyone.
Yeah. I feel announcing you're bisexual keeps your partner, your current partner, on their toes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just thinking about, hey, honey, you pack on too many pounds or you get a little whatever, then I could just go across the street and pick up another. When you're going, everybody in this world is potentially a sexual
an
partner
option.
For me.
Yeah.
That's an option. That's right. Now here's your Peloton. Get busy. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned the Hall of Fame.
Well, wait a second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Portia and Ellen are like famous lesbian couple, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do we have other famous lesbian couples? And why not get Miley and Ellen?
Elliot.
Oh, Jesus, I'm so confused. But can we get some other, you know, A-listers together? Like,
you know who the only other one that comes to mind right off the top is, you know, Sarah Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
She's with Holland Taylor, who, Kaylin or Chris, if you could put up a picture, if that name sounds familiar.
Does it?
She's the mom from, or the grandmother, depending on, you know, which one you're looking at, in Two and a Half Men. Mm. And you don't see many May-December lesbian relationships that I can remember.
Yeah. Certainly don't seek them out on the internet. That's for damn sure. But I want to say, if we got to Google these two people, this isn't what I'm thinking about.
You guys aren't plugged into the community.
Well, you think about A-Rod and J-Lo, you know, like we're looking at him. Yeah. It happens quite often that the celebrity dude hooks up with the celebrity chick. I mean, that's the way you do it. You're both, you know, Brad Pitt's going to go from Jennifer Aniston to Angelina Jolie. Like, hey, we're beautiful. We're celebrities. That's we want to hump each other. Should be more of that in the gay and lesbian community, shouldn't there be?
For some reason, before you said Angelina Jolie, that's who I was thinking of, but not a famous lesbian relationship, yeah, right?
Just think of the one famous lesbian, like the Melissa Etheridge or the Cynthia Nixon. I don't know who their partners are.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We got to get
Rosie.
We got to get Cynthia Nixon with Melissa Etheridge. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. We need to do that.
Well, you mentioned the Hall of Fame and thought this story might catch both of your eye. The Baseball Hall of Fame's class of 2021 is empty.
Yeah.
None of the 25 former players on the ballot received the required 75% vote from the media members. Former Red Sox, Diamondbacks, and Phillies star Curt Schilling came the closest. He drew 71.1% support. The Hall's hometown, Cooperstown, New York, there will be a ceremony this summer and players to honor. Since last year's inductions were canceled due to the pandemic, plans are on board to salute those who were voted in a year ago. So Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and the late Marvin Miller. And this isn't the first time that there hasn't been new inductees. Do you know what other year this has happened? I don't know if this is on your radar or not.
No, I kind of follow football more than baseball. I've never even thought about the possibility, but it strikes me that with a lot of the steroid scandals, this is going to happen, right? Because I think
Bonds was on the list, obviously, of the 25 and didn't make it.
And so were quite a few people who were sort of embroiled in the scandal. I think Mark McGuire may have been on there. I saw it up on the screen.
He's been denied for a few years.
So you're going to... The more steroid guys you have, the more denial you're going to have, and then kind of the smaller pool you're going to have to choose from, whereas they don't really have that in the NFL. Like, maybe everyone's juicing.
Right. Well, the last time this happened was 2013, and but they're still having their ceremony because we happen to have been in a pandemic when they were voted in last time. Let's move over to prison news. Lori Loughlin's husband has to stay behind bars a little while longer. Massimo Giannulli's request for an early release from federal prison has been denied, with the judge saying there's no extraordinary or compelling reason to do it. He was convicted for his role in the college admission scandal. He argued that he should do the remainder of his 5-month sentence at home because all this time in solitary confinement has been punishment enough.
I gotta picture him watching the news. He gets caught in a scandal trying to get his daughter into USC. Meanwhile, you turn on the news and they're like, they're letting all the rapists and murderers out because of the COVID situation. I gotta let these guys out of the joint. And he's just rotting away because he cut a check to some guy with a rowing machine who did a Photoshop with his daughter.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
He's in solitary.
What the fuck?
I would imagine to protect him. Who knows? I don't know.
Do we really need that? I mean, you want to talk about a victimless crime, for the love of Christ. And there's this thing where it's like, well, we got to send a message. To whom? Who really needs to get this message? Do you really think how many people are lined up to involve themselves in this grift?
None now.
Yeah, and I always thought USC, sorry, Brian, it was a little bit that way anyway. I mean, first off, the notion that you routinely take blue chip athletes from all over the country who have no GED and no test scores and immediately bring them into your program. I mean, aren't we already there?
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it works.
There plenty of kids you'd look around when I was there. You'd just be like, well, but obviously, dad, you know, or parents, you'll give a bunch of money to the school, so and so.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, and that's when, wasn't it, Dr. Dre was kind of poking fun at them, saying, like, you know, my daughter got in on her own merit, and, you know, we didn't have to do that. But isn't there a wing named after him?
There's a building, yes. There's a school. I think it's a whole school.
Right, with Jimmy Iovine, right?
Yeah. He bought something or did something.
There's other ways. And just on two real quick notes regarding a couple other scandals. Weinstein, his company, the Weinstein Company, is liquidating because they have a lot of people to pay. The U.S. bankruptcy judge has approved a Weinstein Company liquidation plan that allocates $17 million for the assault victims of Harvey Weinstein.
And I'm picturing them when you go full liquidation, like you have to sell the desks and the chairs and the furniture. Like, how much are those sofas going to go for? Like, I feel like people are going to steer clear of a Harvey sofa.
The ficus. You can keep that.
Well, that's a conversation piece. Come on, Gina.
Sorry, I wasn't thinking clearly.
You know, when people come into your home, you know, you put the ficus right in the entry hall. And then when you welcome people in your home, you go, guess whose ficus that used to be?
And they go, don't look too close.
I don't know. Well, go ahead and guess. Jim Neighbors? Get the fuck out of here. Go ahead. Guess again.
Guess away.
I don't know. Go ahead, guess. I'll give you 10,000 guesses.
Martha Stewart. She likes plants.
Why would I have Martha Stewart's ficus? Come on, the food's getting cold. Keep them coming.
Mel Gibson. Yeah, somebody scandalous.
That fucking racist. He's an anti-Semite.
Sorry.
Why would I have his ficus?
He would never lower himself.
My wife's Jewish. You think Connie would appreciate Mel Gibson's ficus? What kind of maniac would?
Maybe a Jewish guy. Woody Allen? Am I getting warmer? Colder?
It's embarrassing. All right, I'm going to go in and eat. You stay here.
All right, I'm going to make a list.
Yeah, search your soul. Write some shit down. I'll come back after the appetizer.
Okay.
And see.
So speaking of this type of thing, another man's business has taken a real hit. That would be Prince Andrew's business. His venture is at risk of completely collapsing beneath the weight of the scandal over the British royal family member's connection to Jeffrey Epstein. So all that's left is a single accountant to run the operation. After Prince Andrew left his BBC interview that now everyone's seen about Epstein, all reference to the Duke was scrubbed from his business's online homepage. This is called Pitch at Palace Global. For a time, there was a plan to bring the operation back to life in the spring under another name called Pitch Connect. But the chances of that happening are basically slim to none. And they went from a couple dozen staffers to one person.
What was his weird incapable of producing sweat argument in
that
interview? Yeah, he was like,
that was awesome.
I couldn't have possibly had sex with that bird. I don't sweat.
Yeah,
get that drop.
I don't know what his, I'm not sure why that couldn't have been him in the picture or why he couldn't have been on.
That was it. It was him being like real sweaty in a picture with a young girl. He's like, well, that's obviously not me. I don't sweat.
Or maybe the sex island was in a tropical region and he couldn't be in that kind of situation because of his problem. His body couldn't cool itself or something.
Right.
But that's he did miss an opportunity when she was kind of questioning him on that. I mean, I talked about it at the time, but the right thing to say is, you don't believe I can't sweat? You've been talking to me about being a pedophile for 45 minutes. I'm wearing a sweater vest underneath this blazer, and you have lights set up. If I were to sweat, this would be the time. My fucking forehead, I'd be full broadcast news in it right now. You understand? We're sitting in my den. My kids are in the next room, and this whole interview is about me having sex with underage girls on an island.
Really mean, no pun intended.
What was Max Bay? You can look for that, but I can't remember why him not being able to sweat was plausible deniability.
Yeah.
In this? Yeah. All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, while he looks for that, remember a while ago we talked about how the band The Flaming Lips was getting these bubbles together mm-hmm. to start doing concerts, and mm-hmm. that was a thing? Well, they did it. And it's actually, I mean, yes, you know, is it gimmicky and could it sustain itself? Who's to say? But it is interesting, and I'll show you some video of it in a second. So they performed two shows in Oklahoma this month, and they protected their fans with these giant bubbles that Wayne Coyne, the frontman, says are safer than going to the grocery store. The New York Post reports that each bubble holds up to 3 people, and each show can accommodate 100 bubbles. So it's a decent crowd if that's the kind of crowd you draw. There's even a button that you can push if you have to go to pee, because I think somebody has to help you out of the bubble. The Flaming Lips have been working on this bubbled audience concept for months and used the plastic balls back in October as well. Here's a little footage that somebody took of getting ready for the concert and being in the concert.
Once inside,
the line, and they're going into the venue. People are getting into their bubbles. You step into the middle, and the guy in a hazmat suit pretty much inflates you, zooms you in. You have an I have to pee button, and then you just rock out your little bubble.
Does anyone rock out for 4 minutes?
Oh, come on.
Seems to me, as they're trying to perfect this and buy the equipment and do all that stuff, don't you feel like with the million vaccines a day and 100 million, and isn't the kind of the clock on all this? I mean,
yeah.
Might a lot of this stuff be a beta recorder in May or June or something? Like,
yeah.
I feel yes. like they, I feel, I'm picturing, and I don't know why, it has to do with rock and roll and it has to do with the bubble, but I'm kind of picturing all the plans for all the concerts and all the bubbles is like that scene in Spinal Tap where Harry Shearer was locked in the bubble canopy
right. yeah.
and is trying to get out the entire song, and then at the very end he just burst out and the band's played the last note.
Yeah.
It's gonna feel like we're at the end. Yeah. We're getting to the end here.
And I know this isn't your problem, but the bubble, I love seeing the concept. The bubble freaks me out a little bit. I mean, yes. if you're at all claustrophobic or if somebody has to help you out.
It's kind of the opposite of why you go to a concert too, I would say.
Feel free.
He said the prince said he didn't sweat after the Falklands War when he was shot at. It was like an overdose of adrenaline. So at that point, it was almost impossible for him to sweat. Says it was a medical condition. But I'm not.
But what did that have to.
But why did it have to do with why he couldn't be guilty? Well, maybe she said this big, fat, sweaty guy rolled off of me and he went, that couldn't possibly be me.
Yeah, I think there was like a picture of like a sweaty guy. And he's like, that can't be me. That guy's sweaty. I'm not.
But aren't we looking at a picture of him? Like, isn't that you in the picture? This is why you always have to go like whatever the politician is. You either got to go Klansman or blackface so you have plausible deniability. If it's just you with a little glycerin on your forehead, we can figure out who you are.
I mean, look at the picture. It was Virginia. She claimed that he was, quote, profusely sweating.
Aha.
There we go.
Uh-huh. It's like Kelly LeBrock got out of the shower. She was all covered in water, but I could still tell she was beautiful, and I wasn't hating her for it.
Don't hate me because I'm perspirating.
That's right.
But, yeah, some dermatologists are saying that, like, usually that condition is not learned, or it's genetic, so it's not something that you just develop off of the war or anything. So it's weird that he was all of a sudden able to start sweating again.
Well, some people learn to love again.
That's true.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grand.
Can I say one thing really fast? I just wanted to give a quick update on the 24-hour Chang Challenge for my friend Richard Chang for the charity. I cannot thank you guys enough, and a special shout out to Brian, who he donated before it was cool way back in the day. Thank you so much. But this was my friend Richard was going to double everybody's donation for Art of Elysium up to $1,000. We hit that the same day.
Nice.
And at this point, we are... We raised almost $5,000 in less than 24 hours. And this is just from most people just giving $23 because it was the 23rd year. So Chang is doubling it. I cannot thank you enough. This is amazing. And by all means, keep going, keep giving. It's all on the top of my Twitter, twitter.com/GinaGrad. Thank you so much.
Gina, that donation was made before my tax bill arrived.
So oh, you're going to need that back.
Give me some of that back.
Yeah, can you just write it off? I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade, New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.